Good afternoon, everyone. Just to let you know, and I see it's also in the chat, but CTN is broadcasting this morning, so welcome to them, and welcome to all of you who've joined, rejoined, and are with us. I'm going to start the meeting here at 12:01 and ask Karen if she would call the roll.
Thanks, Patrice. And good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to start with the town of Andover. Avon?
Larry Burrell here.
Berlin?
Chris Edge here.
Bloomfield? Bolton?
Patrice Carson is here.
Canton? Columbia? Coventry?
Todd Penny here.
East Granby, East Hartford.
Doug Wilson here.
East Windsor.
Len Norton here.
Ellington. Ellington. Enfield.
Donald Nunes here.
Farmington.
Dylan Riley.
Glastonbury.
Dan Pennington here.
Granby.
Burke Severance.
City of Hartford.
Frank Diller up here.
Owen Deutsch is here.
Hebron.
Kevin Kelly's here.
Manchester. Mansfield.
John Carrington here.
Marlborough. New Britain.
Rob Trottier here.
Newington. Plainville.
John Bossy here.
Rocky Hill.
Jason Scott here.
Simsbury.
Adam Kessler here.
Summers.
Todd Rowland here.
Southington.
Annette Turnquist here.
Stafford. Suffield.
Aaron Isherwood.
Tallinn.
David Corcoran here.
Vernon. Vernon.
Dave West Smith here. I was muted, sorry.
West Hartford.
Greg Summer, good afternoon.
Weathersfield.
Derek Greger here.
Willington. Windsor. Windsor Locks. Is there anyone here from GHTD?
Emily Nacko here.
Is there anyone else from any other organization?
Jennifer Carrier, Federal Highway Administration.
Grayson Wright, CTDOT.
Is there anyone else?
Jim Culpa, Fussin O'Neill.
Jim Culpa, VHB, too.
And the next person, please.
Chuck Harlow, Fussin O'Neill.
Ken Radzone for the town of Ellington. I apologize, I'm late.
Mike Ahern, town of Berlin. Apologize, I'm late.
Okay, Patrice, I think that's it.
Thank you, Karen. And for those of you who are late, you'll have to stay 5 extra minutes at the end. I'm going to begin by asking for anybody in the public who wishes to address the committee at this time. This would be your chance. I can't see everyone, so I guess unmute yourself and speak up. Hearing nothing, I guess we can move on to the adoption of the Transportation Committee meeting minutes from June 27th. Take a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Doug Wilson, move to approve.
Thank you, Doug. And a second?
Larry Burrell, second.
Thank you, Larry. Any corrections, additions, amendments to the minutes? Seeing and hearing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? And if you would, if you're abstaining, please one at a time for Karen.
Karen, Dave Smith abstains.
Karen, Todd Rollin abstains, Town of Summers.
And Rob Trottier.
Adam Kessler abstains.
Dylan Riley abstains.
That sounds like it. Thank you all. We will move on to staff reports. The first item is to welcome new CROG staff and other general issues. Matt, I see, is with us this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Thank you, Patrice. Matt Hart here. Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you at today's meeting. So I've got two items I'd like to report on. And first of all, as Patrice said, very, very pleased to introduce you all to Jacob Knowlton, who's joined our team as a community development planner. Jacob is a proud UConn grad. He's got his BA in poli-sci, thumbs up all around, as well as urban and community studies. He lives within our region. He's got a bunch of great hobbies, loves music of all varieties, gardening, and a variety of other things. But Jacob really, really impressed us during the recruitment process, and we're very glad to have him on board. I know Jacob is reporting on an item later on in today's agenda, but Jacob, could you give a quick hello to the group?
Yeah, hi everyone. Sorry you might hear a very loud event. My computer is giving me headphone problems, so that's great. But I'm so happy to be part of the CROG team and also be introduced and start tagging along to these committee meetings. And I'm so excited. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you, Jacob. And then Patrice, the other item I had, it's a bit of a sad note, as you know. I want to thank everyone who's reached out to us to express their condolences regarding the untimely passing of Tim Malone, who was a member of our team for many, many years. And Rob and Kara have worked very hard to reassign various projects, et cetera. So if you happen to have been working with Tim on a particular project or initiative, and probably for most of you, that was the town planner, as opposed to someone in engineering or public works. But if you have any questions regarding a project that Tim might have been working on in terms of who has taken it over, please reach out to Rob Eloise for that. And again, thank you all for your expressions of support over the last couple of weeks. So that completes my report for today, Patrice.
Thank you, Matt. And welcome, Jacob. It's good to have you here and nice to see you taking part so quickly. The next item on our agenda is 60 seconds for safety, road safety assessments for local roads. And I think Roger's here.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. I just shared the flyer there for the UConn T2 Center has a workshop on road safety assessments. So if you're interested in that workshop, the details are in that flyer that we posted.
It's a very good course. I went to the one on July 12th. Well done. And the instructor is awesome.
That's all I have for that, Patrice.
Okay, Roger. The next item is a summary of the workshop held on July 14th. Would you like to continue?
Sure. So many of you just heard, I gave a little synopsis of the workshop that we held internally with at CROG. And the highlights are really that if you want to apply for an implementation grant, we're asking for these forms to be returned to me by Thursday, July 28th. There's two types of grants, and one is the implementation grant for, you know, design and construction of a project that is in a approved safety plan. And one important aspect of that is that if you plan to apply for that and it's on this a state-owned road, the grant requires that the owner of the road support the project. So eventually there would need to be an agreement between the municipality that's applying for the project and the state. However, at this time, you'd at least need to have some kind of letter of support or a document showing support. So the COGS are being requested to supply DOT with those type of projects, and we want to get those into DOT as soon as possible. So if that's your intent, let us know via this form, and we'll get those projects into DOT so that they can review them, and then we can get some kind of support back for those implementation projects on state roads. Also, towns are eligible to apply for an action grant. We do have a region-wide regional transportation safety plan that I'll be discussing just a bit later on the agenda that we plan to update so that we can use it to apply, towns can use that to apply for implementation grants. But if you separately, if a town wants to apply for their own action grant to prepare a safety action plan, you can do that. But we would like to probably have some more discussion with you, because the USDOT is strongly encouraging joint applications, engaging multiple jurisdictions. And CROG is planning to apply for an action grant so that we can supplement our current plan with updated crash data, reprioritize projects if needed, provide a robust equity component that's a part of a plan, and have good public stakeholder input that's also part of USDOT's requirements for an action plan. So that's kind of a brief synopsis of what we covered at the workshop. If any questions at this time, I'd be glad to field those.
Anybody have any? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna add to what Roger says, said about the action plans and the implementation grants. For the action plans, we do want to have a discussion with whoever wants to submit potentially independently, because there's a potential that we could include, you know, that our plan could include any kind of specific elements that you were envisioning in your plan. So it might be better just to have the regional plan, the one regional safety plan, address all the region's concerns. Of course, all towns are eligible to submit their own, but as Roger said, the feds are really prioritizing a regional type of investment. On a similar front for the implementation grants, another purpose of this form is to find out who's planning to submit implementation grants so that we can potentially aggregate those into one region, multi-jurisdictional regional application. Of course, one municipality would need to take the lead on that, but these types of implementation improvements do not have to be similar. It does not have to be on the same road that spans two towns. It could be various improvements in various towns across the region, various contracts when they're awarded. It's just they would be packaged in one application if towns are amenable to that, and it may be much more competitive that way. And I see Matt has his hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. The only thing I would add, and I guess I could have done it earlier, very pleased that we're hiring two dedicated staff, two staff members who will be focused on the infrastructure law as well as special projects. And they'll be joining our team next month, and we'll be able to introduce you to them at that point. And these folks are going to be available to you and to your colleagues for any number of EJA related questions, you know, to help put together applications, particularly to help us put together very competitive applications on behalf of the region, on behalf of the COG. So, you know, they're going to be working with Roger and Rob and other folks on the team, and just very pleased that we're in a position where we're able to do that, because we really want to maximize the opportunities that are going to be available to us over over the next several years. And we think having these dedicated staff will assist us with that. So we look forward to introducing you to these folks at your next meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt. Anybody else have any questions on this for Rob or Roger at this point? I don't see or hear any. Roger, would you like to go into the intent to apply form?
I think that's pretty much, I gave you a little summary of that already. So again, whether they're implementation grants or action grants, get those to us, by this Thursday. And
it's an easy form. You're seeing the entirety of it here. So it's a
one-pager. That's it. That's it.
So it's just a quick, indication to us that you plan to apply and a little bit of a description of the project.
And I know at our earlier subcommittee meeting, we had a little bit discussion about this. If you have any questions as to whether your town has any items on the Safe Street Action Plan, there is an appendix for each town. Am I right about that, Roger?
That's right.
You can check, and if there's something there, you may want to move forward.
Right. There's really, if you want an implementation project, it can either be from the top prioritized crash intersections that are in the Regional Transportation Safety Plan, the top crash corridors. There's also an Appendix D that has non-motorist crash locations prioritized and listed specifically. And then each town has their own, in the Appendix A, has projects that are identified. So if you want an implementation, USDOT stresses it has to be a project that's in the action plan. Some towns might have their own action plan that they could self-certify too.
Thank you. Any other questions before we move on? And I assume, as always, if you have any questions after the meeting, you certainly can contact Roger or Rob. All right. Let's move on to Reconnecting Communities Pilot, the RCP discretionary grant program. Jacob?
Yeah, again, sorry for the vent, if you can hear it. It usually likes to go on and off throughout the day, but today it's just pumping out consistently. But basically what this is $195 million to better the fabric of towns and communities and the people who reside in them. So it's a great opportunity to open up infrastructure barriers that might inhibit mobility, accessibility, economic development, stuff like that. So stuff to know is there's two different kinds of grants. There's the planning grants and the capital construction grants. The first is more you can use as a preliminary for the construction grants, because the construction grants do require that you do have your feasibility studies done. So that's a great way to sort of lead into the construction grants. And the planning grants have an 80-20 match rate from federal spending. And then the construction grants have a 50-50 match rate. The planning grants are expected to be a little less in cost. Obviously, they're anticipated to be $100K to $2 million per project, versus the construction grants are expected to be $5 million to $100 million per project allocation. If you don't have experience filing for DOT funding, they encourage you to file with a partner and go through that process. And pretty much the state, local governments, we don't have a lot of those, but tribal governments, metropolitan planning organizations, and nonprofits are able to apply. The DOT, CTDOT, is planning to... or is anticipated to apply for the Greater Hartford Mobility Study in the construction portion of the grants. If you don't get enough money allocated within this fiscal year, they will put you on basically a high priority allocation list, which you can then apply in fiscal year 2024 and fiscal year 2026 under two separate grants that are coming up. And that's important to note, just in case that you don't get enough money for the complete plan, you might be able to plan for the future. In addition to this, the deadline for all this application is Thursday, October 13th, 2022 at midnight. And I think that's pretty much it as far as the major highlights. All the formats and requirements, prereqs, can be found on the documents. And on the second page of the memo, we have some good resources in terms of both rural and more suburban resources that are used for planning. Yeah.
Thank you, Jacob.
Of course.
Anybody have any questions for Jacob on his first presentation to the group? Very well done. And we can't hear your vent. I don't know what it is.
Okay, thank goodness. So we're good. It's so blaring here. It's okay. I'm glad.
I just want to add a quick editorial about these NOFOs that are coming out. And I think we're seeing a pattern, and we don't know exactly, you know, what's going to be contained in the following NOFOs that are upcoming, but a lot of these new programs that are for completely new type of funding types, like this one, or like the Safe Streets for All that we just saw, or even the EV funding, a lot of these are, it seems like they're, you know, they're going to be available for the next 5 years. There's going to be many opportunities, but a lot of times it seems like the federal government is wanting you to have a plan first and then to implement that plan. For example, for the EV funding right now, DOT is working on a phase one plan that's required to get any of the actual implementation funding in following years. So that's kind of the pattern we're seeing on some of these. I don't know if it'll hold up, but we'll find out as things go on.
Very good. Thank you. Any questions from the group? I don't see or hear any. We can move on to LOTSEP quarterly report. Satoria?
Great. Thank you, Patrice, and good afternoon to everybody. This is the quarterly report. So it's the end of the fiscal year as of June 30th, 2022. And the information or the highlights that I'll summarize below are from the program and financial summary spreadsheet and also the regional quarterly status report that's also attached to this, so you can see what the individual information is. But we had a great year. One of the highlights is we had projects awarded in excess of $17 million, which is great. I think that's the most we've ever had. So I'm excited about that. And just this last quarter, we had Coventry's South Street and Pedestrian Improvement Project awarded, which was 1.9. And then since the report, we've had several awarded because we had 9 projects that received authorization to advertise letters in the amount of in excess of $17 million. So we're excited about that because that means next fiscal year or this fiscal year, 2023, we'll have that much more of projects awarded. So we hope. So far we've seen some great progress. So I appreciate that. We received 7 quarter four design submissions, and we anticipate 14 in the first quarter of 2023. So we hope to receive all of those. And the types of design submissions are listed below, and they're also highlighted on the report. We've had 49 projects that have been awarded or completed since the program inception. So it's great. And then we had Conduit issued 2 commitment to fund letters this past quarter. And one was to Plainville Whiting Street Reconstruction and Mansfield Maple Road Roadway and Complete Streets Project. So congratulations to all the towns and all the municipalities that have had projects awarded or commitment to fund letters or authorization to advertise letters. So I appreciate that and congratulations to them all. We don't have any municipalities reporting this quarter because most of them have reported previously. So there was no new information. I do want to mention a couple of other things in the spreadsheets that were attached here. They're not going to be shown, but I just wanted to go over some of them. We do have, besides the $17 million in that have received authorization to advertise letters, we have currently have over $72 million, almost $73 million projects in design. So that's incredible. So we're hoping that everyone, all the municipalities, push their designs to be completed or to at least advance throughout this new fiscal year. We also have over 4 million projects that have been submitted to CONDOT that were either waiting for additional information from the municipalities or from CONDOT. And then because of our new solicitation that was just approved in May, we've already had some of the applications reviewed and I've sent them off to the municipalities, but that haven't even been submitted to CONDOT. We have 52 million of those projects that are pending to be reviewed and then submitted to CONDOT. So we could have a substantial portion of projects submitted to CONDOT as well this year. So, and we have a new solicitation, of course.
Well, thank you very much, Sartoria. That is good news, all good news. And thanks always to CROG staff for helping us communities shepherd these things and keeping us in line. So appreciate the report. I don't know if there's anybody who has any questions about the report. I don't see any. And so we can move on to our next item, which is the 2023 Lots of Project Solicitation Draft Selection Policy. Right back to you, Sartoria.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrice. Okay, so we reviewed this policy in the subcommittee, and there were great comments and questions regarding it, and we're hoping we'll resolve the questions and also add any comments that I receive, and then we hope to get it approved in September so we can advance our new solicitation, which consists of $27 million. The draft schedule is as noted from the last meeting, and also the funding allocations are as noted as well. Just some of the main highlights of the new draft selection policy is that we have a bridge solicitation included in our solicitation, and the allocation is $8 million. 1.5 of that will be for culvert replacement. If we don't receive culvert projects, then it would just be strictly for 8 million of the bridge projects. And the rating criteria that will be used is the NBI standards, and it will be, we're expecting a bridge to have either a rating of 4 or under, although we will not include or consider a rating of 5 if the municipality thinks that the bridge will eventually or deteriorate further in the next year or so. So we have a listing also at the end of the draft criteria or the policy for review. And if anyone wants to include additional ones, it's not all encompassing. We just need documentation from the inspection reports that will provide the necessary information for structural deficiency. Just want to see. So the three different categories are deck, superstructure, or substructure. So if any one of those has an NBI rating of 4 or under, they will be considered, but not necessarily where we will not consider 5s as well. We will consider those if there's a necessary documentation. That's it.
Thank you, Sartoria. Any questions regarding this for Sartoria? Hearing none and seeing none, we will move on. Is there any other staff reports to be given that we've missed?
I don't believe so, no.
Thank you, Rob. Moving on, the TIP amendments.
This is an easy one. Yeah, we don't have any for this month, so we'll inform you about any next month. Or no, in September.
In September, correct, correct. We will move on to the Regional Transportation Safety Plan update, Roger. And I guess at this point, and actually I should have said earlier, that we are acting on behalf of the CROG Policy Board as well as our own Transportation Committee. And I think this is where that the twain meets here.
Right. Roger. Thanks, Patrice. So the staff is recommending the Transportation Committee acting as Policy Board adopt the resolution in front of you. This would is to approve a July 2022 amendment to our Regional Transportation Safety Plan that was prepared and approved in 2020. So why are we doing this? We are with the Safe Streets for All program. Towns are eligible to apply for an implementation grant and supplemental action plan grants if they can meet the requirements that they have an action plan that's or a document that is self-certified meets the criteria in the self-certification eligibility worksheet, table 2 of the NOFO. So back in June, we kind of went through the details of that, what we plan to do. And the basic, you have to answer yes to 3 questions, which we can do. You have to answer 4 of 6 other questions. And to answer 4 of the 6 others, CROG staff reviewed that in detail and found one thing we really needed to do was add some time ranges to projects in the plan. So we have done that. I outlined that in detail in the memo that was posted with our agenda. A number of areas where we have the actual projects in our ranking of crash intersections, top crash intersections, top crash corridors, our appendix D non-motorized crash locations, and a notation in our appendix A town reports. So we added some verbiage about time ranges to all those projects as best we could at this with the short notice, and we're asking that those be approved. The document was posted along with the documents that shows the draft plan with all those changes shown. So we're asking for approval of the plan. And then as kind of a side note clarification, the intent is that CROG will apply for a supplemental action grant to do a more robust update to the Regional Transportation Safety Plan with updated crash data, with updated input from towns on priority projects. Hopefully we get that, can secure that grant and then do that over the next year or so after we get the grant. So that's the intent. Looking for approval of our amended July 2022 Regional Transportation Safety Plan.
Thank you, Roger. Rob, did you have something?
I can add a tiny bit. And if this is approved, we do have we've filled out the self-certification worksheet, which would have to be attached to any implementation plan that referenced our action plan. So if this is approved, we consider our plan in minimum compliance with that so that towns can apply for an implementation grant for items listed in our plan, either independently or jointly with a multi-jurisdictional
application, which we're trying to facilitate.
Great, thank you. I'm going to ask if there's any questions before we take the resolution. And if none, then can I have a motion to approve the Regional Transportation Safety Plan for the Capital Region amended July 22nd?
Doug Wilson, so moved.
Thank you, Doug. Is there a second?
Rob Trottier, second.
Thank you, Rob. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Anybody abstain?
Jason Scott abstain from Rocky Hill.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Dylan Riley, Farmington.
Any other abstentions? Thank you. The ayes have it, and the resolution is approved. Continuing to do our double duty, we have a CROG comment letter on the trip guidelines posted. Rob?
Yes, this at the last meeting in June, we reviewed a new program, some draft guidelines that DOT had put together for a brand new program, state-funded program, which they are calling the Transportation Rural Improvement Grant Program, or they're using the acronym TRIP. TRIP is sort of a rural LOTSIP and sort of a community connectivities. Eligibility is more like a rural LOTSIP because it follows STP rural eligibility. And the implementation of it seems to be more like the community connectivity program. The COGS were given the draft guidelines from CONDOT, and we reviewed those at the June meeting, and we got some feedback from the committee so that we could give feedback to CONDOT by their deadline, which is just in a few days. So this is the letter giving feedback on what the committee discussed last month. Basically, the main points, which are outlined in the bullet, I think encompass a few categories. One is increase the eligibility beyond what the federal STP rural set aside or rural would entail. And really, the only difference between STP rural and STP urban, so the only thing that would be added to the LOTSIP in these rural towns would be minor collectors if this criteria would stand. And a lot of the towns had concerns that they didn't have a lot of minor collectors in the rural towns. So there is a comment there to that the TC would like that eligibility expanded. The second thing is there was a general thought that the program should be larger. It's only $5 million a year for the entire state. And it's only, I think, authorized through 3 years, or at least this solicitation would be for 3 years. So the thought is that more funding would be appreciated. So that is outlined in the letter. And then thirdly, there's some specifics in here regarding if there are more details, if they could forward them to the COGS, because there weren't many specifics beyond the application phase given. So there wasn't clarity on whether the COGS would be involved through design or if more was expected of the COGS later. So there's some bullets on that. So this is a draft letter that we'd like to send by their deadline. And this is kind of a last chance for any committee comments on it.
Thank you, Rob. Does anybody have any comments either on the draft letter or otherwise, maybe to include?
Yes, Peter from Marlboro.
Go on ahead, Peter.
I think one of the things we discussed was the lack of towns that were eligible under their use of the STP urban. It suggested they use more like we do in our rural. I mean, they're cutting out towns of 6,000 and 5,000 people.
So yeah, they're using a different criteria.
If you could suggest some kind of different criteria, just a comment on that. I mean,
okay.
You know,
expanded. That their criteria for rural is too restrictive?
Yes. I mean, we don't hit because we have urbanized areas. You know, so we have the population threshold that takes us over. You know, we're 6,000 people.
Yeah. Is there any objection to that by the towns that are eligible? That I don't know how they feel, but.
Sheffield's in favor.
Okay.
Rob, I have no objection to Peter's point. The thing I would stress is that one of the big problems for the smaller towns with WOTSIP has just been that's one of the major funding sources, and we're effectively locked out of it for most of our roads. A town like Andover, we don't have any major collectors. We have a half mile of minor collector in the entire town, and we've already rehabilitated that one. So unless they knock this down to, you know, local roads, you know, these projects really aren't very.
So it's too much of an overlap. It's too much of an overlap with LOTSIP is kind of the comment, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So expanding the criteria for rural is too restrictive, and it's too much of an overlap with the same eligibility. Okay. Yeah,
that's a very good point.
And then Rob, Kevin has his hand up.
Yeah, hi. Two comments. One, to expand on Peter's thought about other roads, I was planning on putting an application in because I have a road that is eligible for that. But I have another one that would be better suited to this type of grant that isn't eligible. So I would love it. I'd rather trade places with these projects. But one thing I did want to ask is in the application process, you need pavement design included. And that doubles the cost of my application. I would rather see that pavement design is added after approval of a project. Right now, all our engineering is outsourced, and that essentially doubles the cost.
Okay.
Thank you.
And I think that's true for a lot of rural communities, Rob. Sometimes the engineering is outsourced, so it does add to the cost. Any other comments? These are good comments.
Regarding the pavement comment, right now they allow lots of funds, and we have a, you know, our consultants on board to do a assessment of the roadway for free for the towns during the application process. Would that, I'm just wondering logistically if that's an ask we should to be able to use that in lieu of a pavement design. I'm just thinking of, you know, we could have a general comment about pavement, but unless we have a solution, it might get buried. If that's a good solution, I could write it up that way.
Usually the pavement design is pretty complex. They have to come out and do corings every so many feet and
right.
Provide all the data. If that's something they could do in place of that, that'd be great.
Any other comments? Rob, does that answer your question?
I think so. Maybe we make the general comment and offer that as a possible solution or something they might want to consider. That way it doesn't limit it to that one solution.
Sounds good, thank you.
Anybody else? So Rob, you'll make those couple of changes and then send that in.
Yes.
Will the committee get a copy of what your final letter is? I assume not prior to you sending it in, but just in general, or
I think we could probably provide that at the next meeting, but that would be September. You know, maybe we'll post it on this. We can certainly get it to you if that's desired. We can send it out or post it to our to the meeting. Website. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And do you need any? Do you need a vote for this to send it, or you're good to go?
We had put it as an action, but just as a TC action, so it's not TC's okay. Policy board. So the motion would be approval of the letter pending us making those changes.
Okay. Do I have, or do I hear a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is that Eric?
Yep.
Thank you, Eric. Do I have a second?
Kevin Kelly, second.
Thank you, Kevin. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? It's unanimous, Karen. I think all that's left on our agenda is other business. Is there any other business to come before the board today? I will just note our next regular meeting is also in September, unless we need some sort of emergency meeting. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yep.
All righty. Well, welcome to New Crog staff. Hope John is having a great vacation. I hope the rest of you stay cool for the rest of the summer and enjoy your time off from the CROG. And we will see you in September. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So move, Chris Edge.
Thank you, Chris. In a second, I'll second it. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Have a great rest of your summer, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.